Welcome to the Jewish Prayer Podcast, where we uncover the depth, beauty, and relevance of the timeless words of Jewish prayer. Here is your host, Rabbi Yossi Lindenbaum.
Okay, welcome back. We are here continuing our journey through the Siddur, through prayer. Just want to thank everyone who's been giving me feedback. A special shout out to my good friend Brandon for his very valuable tips and comments and criticism, but I appreciate all of it. If anyone else has anything to share, please rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. I appreciate everything. Another word of introduction. If you're just jumping in now to the podcast, most important, I wouldn't say you have to listen to every class along the way, although it is valuable. The first few are the most important. Those first four introductory classes are definitely, nothing else will make sense until you listen to those four. So I would definitely suggest you going there. Okay, we're about to start our new section. Until now, I would call this like our introductory. Sometimes it's called brachos, which I like, the blessings, because there were a lot of blessings that we did so far. It was like the pregame. It was like the introductory. And they're very nice, very meaningful, and we went through every word of it. We're going about to start another section, a very large section. It's called Psukei Dezimra. I'm going to explain what that means. It's something that is difficult for people to read and to connect to, simply because it's a little bit repetitive, poetic. There's a lot of poems, a lot of psalms, which we're going to discuss and understand. And so like every episode, we're trying to find meaning, we're trying to find connection, and how this could be meaningful for me and a good way to start my day. So I hope we're successful with that. So let's understand, literally the Psukei Dezimra are verses of song. Psukei is verses. Zimra means one of the words for song. They're verses of songs. And it's based on an idea that before we ask Hashem for something, we're going to sing his praise. Actually, in the Torah, at the time of this recording, it was just this week's Torah portion, Veschanan, Moshe prays more than anyone else about one thing in particular. Actually, according to our rabbinic sources, he prayed 515 times. And what was that? What did he want more than anything? Interestingly enough, what did he want more than anything? He wanted to enter into the land of Israel. He wanted to get into Israel. And yes, Moshe was never in Israel. Many of you may have been in Israel, but Moshe himself was never in Israel, and that's what he wanted to do. And he was not. He was answered in the negative, where Hashem said, no, it's not the right place for you. Which is, as an aside, an important prayer message. Sometimes the answer, Hashem heard all his prayers, but decided that it wasn't right for Moshe. That wasn't what he needed in his life. That's not what his soul needed. Interesting, though, Hashem told him to please stop praying. It seems like even though this wasn't right for him, if he would have pushed and prayed long enough, he would have gotten an answer. Anyways, as it introduces that, Moshe himself starts praising Hashem. He says, you've been so great to me. You've been so powerful. And so from there, we learn that before a person asks for things, before he prays in that way, he should praise Hashem. So before anything, what's the idea of this? Why? Why does Hashem want us to praise him? Is this like some sort of power trip? Does he enjoy hearing when, you know, people say nice things about him? Is he insecure? Doesn't make so much sense if you know basics of what God is. So I think, like many questions that we have, we can answer it by understanding the Hebrew, by understanding the words. So the word, like we said, is Psukei Dezimra. The very name of this section will tell us what it is at its essence. So there's a deeper meaning to the word Zimra. Zimra, besides meaning song, actually means pruning. Okay, what is pruning? So like in the gardening sense, you chop off branches. You chop off branches because then it grows back stronger. That is the process of pruning. And so in a certain way, through these verses, they're considered verses of pruning. we're cutting away, we're chopping away. And it seems like we're chopping away like separation, covering. Okay, the way I see it is that we're trying to connect to Hashem. We're trying to talk to him in a very personal, a very real way. But you're coming from waking up, from life, from busyness. And to get to that mode of praying, the right way to do it is through these verses of song. And that's what they are. They're really song. They're really poems. Now, we don't relate so much to poetry. I haven't met too many people who enjoy poetry. But music, everyone connects to and everyone appreciates. And I always point this out that, like, that in, you know, most people can't read a book more than once or watch a movie more than once. But a song, you can sing over and over and over again. And in fact, if you sing, you'll see that the more times you sing, it changes and you can kind of get more into the song. It takes time to get there. This is actually why by Jewish songs, like if you go to a Jewish home on a Friday night for Friday night dinner, they sing Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, you know. And so then we say each paragraph there three times. And even the paragraphs, that there are four of them, are very similar to each other, which is weird. Why do we say it three times? The answer is that it's a song. And so songs, the more you do it, you get into it. So even if you're saying the same idea, you're really trying to connect and chop off those branches and disconnect. Disconnect from what you don't want to be connected to and connect to what you do want to be connected to. So that is... this actually the other word for song, and this is a word also used in this part of the prayer, is shira. But shira means a song, but it actually sometimes means a chain, like a necklace. And so we're really doing that. It's like perfect. We're doing two things. We're doing zimra and shira. We're chopping off the excess and we're connecting to Hashem. So back to our question of the power trip, it's not about Hashem appreciating it. It's the more we appreciate it, the more we understand who Hashem is and how powerful he is. In a certain way, actually, the more he is. There's a famous line from one of the Kutzker Rebbe, who was a very clever, sharp Hasidic rabbi. And when asked, where is God? Where is God? You know, is he in the heavens? Is he everywhere? He says, God is wherever we let him. God is wherever we allow him to be. He's not everywhere, that means. He could be, but he chooses to expose himself in places where we allow him to be. And so in a similar way, the more we allow him and the greater we allow him to be, the greater he is for us. The more we say, oh, you are mighty and you are great. And again, this is not the part of the prayer. Just to be clear, we're going to say this a few times in prayer. We already did. If you remember, there was a song way back about what God is, who God is, what he's capable of. We're going to do it later in the Shemoneh Esrei itself. But in this part, we're not just getting this information, saying it. We're really trying to emotionally feel it. And this takes time. What do they say? The greatest distance in the world is between a man's head and his heart. So we're trying to get from the head to the heart and to really feel Hashem's capabilities, his love for us, his connection to us, and his greatness. And that allows him to have that greatness in our lives. That's where we allow him in. So that definitely takes time and it takes repetition. Now, let me tell you a few more bits of information. If you remember, we used an analogy of the prayer as if we're going into the temple, as if we're getting closer and closer to the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash. So with that analogy, this point where we're up to in the prayer is Well, if you know what it looks like, it's actually most of the area of the temple did not have a roof on it. It was like a courtyard. Actually, today you look on Temple Mount, that's what it is, right? It's not covered. There's a building on there. So that's how the Beis HaMikdash was also. There was a courtyard where most of the action happened and the bustling, and then there was a building. And we are actually entering the building. The building has three sections to it. We are in the first section. And what was in that first section? Interestingly enough, not really anything. It had tables that could be used, but not very much. So what was the point of it if there's nothing in it, right? What are you supposed to do there? Well, it's what's called a antechamber, a lobby. It's a place to pause before you go into the building, meaning you can't do it in the street because it's too busy and bustling there. So you come into this building and give yourself a moment to pause before you enter into the other building. This area, it's called the Ulam in Hebrew, had a entranceway and an exit way into the, well, it's exit, but further entrance into the smaller part, into the more inner building. And that's exactly what our prayers are going to have now. They're going to have an entranceway, a blessing. We'll see it starts with a blessing and ends with a blessing. That's the entrance and the exit. And in the middle, we're going to not pause, but read these words and try to connect, get ready for what's about to come. There's actually an interesting law that says in Shulchan Aruch, which is the Jewish book of halacha, of law, that says that when this part of the prayer, the Pesukei Dezimra, a person should not say it quickly, but rather deliberately, rather benachas, it says, calmly. Continues, none of the words should be skipped or mumbled, but each word is to be pronounced as if one is counting money. That's what it says about this section. Now, certainly that goes for all the prayers. You should never mumble prayers. You should always mean what you say. You should always say the words carefully. It's interesting that in the Jewish law, it says specifically that this section should be said slowly as if one's counting money. Because I kind of get that. Yeah, you should always mean what you say, but this the whole point of it is to build up this emotion. So if you're just running through it, you're probably going to miss it. Now, practically, can that be done? Especially those people who are new to Hebrew, or even if you're reading it in English, it's a lot of pages. And how many hours am I supposed to spend on prayer? Well, okay, if you have the time, go for it. Spend hours and hours. Realistically, you go to your local synagogue, you'll see that people spend between 6 to 9 minutes on these 30 pages. Okay, they're not exactly 30 pages because you've got the whole Hebrew English situation. So it's 15 in Hebrew or 15 in English, but still, it's pretty quick. You're doing about 30 seconds a page. That's fast. So people don't necessarily do it, but we are talking about the ideal, and this is really the right way to do it. And hopefully, as we go along, at least you'll connect to some parts of it and have a few moments of emotion, of connection. Okay. That's what Psuki Dezimra is. That answers our question. That's what this song is. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to switch around the podcast now. You see, because I'm kind of torn. It is a very long part of the prayer, and it's poetry, and really it can be studied and understood each and every word, what it's trying to do, what I'm supposed to be feeling. But I think it's going to be very slow to go through every word like we've been doing until now, to go through every Hebrew word. But on the other hand, I know there are people out there who are praying and are saying these words and want to understand them and want to connect to it. So I think what we're going to do, Hashem should give us the strength to do this, is that I'm going to be a little bit, well, we'll see. We're going to read for now and do a little bit more of the overview and not read every single word, but just understand the basic idea of the paragraphs, maybe pick out some meaningful sentences. But for those who do want every word, I am going to make another episode, like called an advanced episode. And if you, it'd be more helpful if you know the Hebrew and you are reading the words and want to know what those sentences mean, and more specifically, we'll try to go through that in that way. Okay, I hope that's clear. We're going to do our regular episodes. We'll continue with the same count, getting the ideas, definitely still focusing on the specifics. That is the nature of this podcast, to go through the specifics of prayer, of Jewish prayer. But not necessarily read every single word. Before I start, I do want to tell you that most of what we're going to be reading is from one specific author. And that is King David. David HaMelech, King David, wrote or put together the book of Psalms, the book of Tehillim. I don't like that word, Psalms. No reason. I just have a hard time with the whole P and the S. So I'll try to say Tehillim, although I may go back and forth on it. Tehillim. And we take a lot of the book of Tehillim. There's some joke out there. I don't know if this will be totally understood, but the joke goes that, hey, what's the big deal of the book Tehillim? It's not such a great book. It's like, what do you mean? Tehillim is one of the greatest songs. This is what people have turned to in their time of need, in their time of joy. Every person, wherever they're going through, has always turned to Tehillim. They said, no. Tehillim is really not such a big deal. He just opened up a prayer book, a Siddur, took the most beautiful parts of the Siddur, and collected together and made into a book of Tehillim. That's a joke. The joke is because the Siddur comes much. Tehillim is not made out of the parts of the Siddur. The Siddur is made out of the parts of Tehillim. Came much later. So Tehillim is a book of beautiful songs from David. And to understand this part of the davening, you have to really understand David, who he was, and his story. So we have many great leaders, men and women in the Torah that we look to. And each of them has their own attribute and their own personality. Of course, it was explained that if somebody, an example, if somebody has a huge bicep, okay, and nothing else, they don't really work out the rest of their muscles. So we don't say that they're strong. They're just like, you know, a freak, if you can imagine, like one person with a disproportional quads or any muscle. Like you can't have one muscle way beyond anything else. A person has to be strong in all their muscles, and then maybe they'll focus on one particular part that they use for their sport or their competition. Sure, but overall, they have to be strong in every way. And that's the same thing in greatness of attributes. A person can't just be great in Torah and not in kindness. That's not called a Torah great. That's just called a freak. That's called weird. You have to be great in all areas. And so certainly all of our greats, so anyone who made it into the Jewish history as a great person that we look back to till today was great in every area, and their kindness and sensitivity and their prayer and their Torah study and their connection. But they did have their one thing that we look to. And if there's one thing I would look to David for, it actually, I wouldn't say prayer particularly, what David had, he really had an amazing life, is if there was one thing that I could pick that David excelled in, it would be in his real deep connection to Hashem. There's a line that he says in Tehillim, Ki avi ve'imi azavuni v'Hashem yasveni, because my father and mother have abandoned me and God has gathered me in. Now, he had good parents, but he felt that in a certain way, a lot of people did abandon him in his life. His father-in-law certainly actually wanted to kill him. And he had many enemies throughout time. His brothers really looked down on him, and even his father, who loved him but didn't think that he would ever amount to much. So he had a lot of enemies even later when he became king. The previous king, like I said, wanted to kill him, and then he had a rebellion. His own son rebelled against him. Other great leaders of the generation rebelled against him. And he was criticized, even actually after he died. There were many, many Jewish leaders who thought that he wasn't very much. He wasn't significant. And, his book shouldn't be read. And only later, not much later, but in the days of his sons, it became his son, Shlomo, Solomon, it became clear that he was, in fact, great and beloved to Hashem. And so even though he had all that, pushback from so many different sides, he always had this deep, very real connection to Hashem. And that's what we're going to see, because that's what these prayers are about. And that's what we'll always, like I said, that's what we always turn to Tehillim, to the books of David, because any pain that a person is going through, David has gone through. Any success that you're going through, David has gone through. He was the king, he was the greatest, and he was scorned and cursed sometimes at the same time even. So it is always a book that whatever person is going through, they open up their book of Tehillim and they can connect to. And we're going to put some of the most beautiful paragraphs, and that is what our Pesukei Dezimra is made up of. I'm not going to even read the first one because we're out of time, but we'll get into the first start of it is already going to be the story of David. Just to review what we studied this week, we are introduced Pesukei Dezimra. We learned what a Zimra is. It's the pruning and breaking off the connections. We learned about Shira, which is connecting to Hashem. So we're detaching from everything else. We're getting into the antechamber, trying to prepare our mind and really counting out every word as it is money, trying to disconnect from the world and to connect to our true selves and to Hashem. That is the basic idea. It gets a little repetitive because this is information we want to know, not just know, but to feel. And like a song, which is exactly what it is, we have no problem repeating it over and over until we get to its until we get it into our head. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.